From the Arts Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, folks, wherever you're tuning us in from. Just better toot the horn very early on here, just getting the levels up. Want to say that the show is being brought to you by the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council, just to make sure that I've covered my bases. In the studio with me today, I've got Janice Escott, who is a certified Cordon Bleu chef and instructor, as well as Kelly Taylor, a certified natural gourmet chef and instructor as well. They have a show that comes on right after mine called Say Yes to the Chef. And I love that idea. I love it when they say yes.
Especially
when
you, say yes.
When you've just presented them with a menu. This is what I want to cook for you. So I'm going to introduce these two ladies and we're going to find out about what their show is all about. We're doing a little bit of a cross-pollination this morning on WCOM. Bringing you the team from Say Yes to the Chef. Good morning, Janice. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on.
Thank you. We have lots of people in here today.
Yes,
yes, nice. We've got
more than we're used to.
The audience is here.
It's great.
So what brought about, I mean, you've got an amazing background. I want to talk to you about your background with Jacques Pepin as well as we proceed.
Oh, you know that. I didn't know you knew
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a secret.
So, the secret.
So I've always wanted to just sort of get on the mic and go, hey, what's it like being you? So give us a cue. Tell us about the show, your background in general. Janice, I'm assuming you are the originator. Or did you do this as a team?
We did this as a team, actually.
I see, okay.
I had a radio background, but Kelly's a natural.
I'm sure.
She really is.
I think that means I like to talk. I don't know what that means.
I think it might mean you do it well.
She does it well. Yeah, we're a great team. We really are.
Fantastic.
We've been
friends
for years.
Well, you've got great energy.
Yeah, we do. We have been friends for years. So it's really been, it was so much fun last spring when we thought that it might be fun to do a radio show. And when we proposed it, we were on within a week or two. I mean, it was
very quick.
It was very, very quick.
How did you wind up on WCOM?
I don't exactly remember.
We were just sitting there talking, and we said, hey, we should have a radio show. And so we looked around to see where we could have a radio show. And
where can I find a honky-tonk?
So, and then we just sent an email and met Bill. Who was
fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty.
And I'm sure with what you proposed, he had to be sold.
Well, he loves food, so it wasn't that hard.
Definitely.
He was sort of dropping hints that I do a little more about food on my show. And I didn't start it that way, so it's been tough to squeeze it in. But
well, here we are. We're squeezing it in.
Absolutely, yes. So what we're actually doing today, folks, in case you care out there, I'm introducing them on my show, interviewing them, having a conversation. Actually, it's more going to be what it is. And then we're going to turn the tables, and I'm going to be interviewed on their show. So this is the game plan for today, since our shows follow each other anyway.
2 hours of us.
Yes, can you stand it?
Yes, right. Right. Well, Kelly and I actually met a few years ago when we were at Central Carolina Community College in Pittsburgh. And I was developing the Natural Chef program and was looking for people to hire for the program. And lo and behold, Kelly walked into my life, thank God. And we really worked on the program together. It was absolutely wonderful because she's a graduate of the, okay.
The Natural Gourmet. She always gets it wrong. The Natural Gourmet.
Now let me ask.
It wrong every time. Every time. I don't know what.
What brought you into the same circle?
I actually was not. I had no idea they were even building that culinary program.
You just happened by?
No, I was looking for a kitchen to rent to do my own work in. And someone, one of the chefs that run a restaurant down there in Pittsburgh said, oh, you should go ask somebody at the college. I think they're doing something with their building a kitchen. I don't know what it's for. So I did. So I just sent an email trying to figure out where the kitchen was and who was in charge. And then I met Janice. So I really didn't even know. And then she told me when I called to find out. Which
that
was really
mystical
great.
Aspect of part, that's a part of life that we think is circumstantial. Huh?
Oh, it's not at all.
Well, no, it was it was an interesting thing because, you know, the Natural Chef program is a little different. It's a little different culinary program. You know, a lot of culinary programs are built on French-style
yes,
culinary.
Yes, pretty much so.
And that's not my experience. My experience the reason I went to the culinary school I went to in New York was because it was a mix of things. You know, we mm-hmm. learned French culinary, but we also learned, we learned Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine, how you use food in those practices.
Food should be seen as medicine.
It was very different. It's definitely a health and wellness sort of mm-hmm. approach to cooking and culinary. And I thought, I'm going to go to New York and I'll come back here. And what am I going to do with this? I really did. I thought, who in the world? Because it wasn't really happening here. People weren't really getting into the idea of food as medicine or even food as health. It was just sort of, we're in the South, we have a tradition of food, and that's sort of the end of it, you know. So I did. I fully came back going, what in the world am I going to do with this? So
Kelly, where are you originally from?
Well, I've been around. I think I've lived everywhere in this country except for the Southwest, but I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in St. Louis, really right next to the famed Ferguson, Missouri right now.
Oh, no.
I lived in the suburb right next to it. But then I moved to the West Coast, which really is where I got influenced in my food.
Yeah, well, as you know, wherever you are, you know, the food affects you. Mm-hmm. And what you learn in the culinary craft is where you are half the time.
Yeah, and that's definitely living. I lived in Seattle, and that really changed my opinion about what food is and what it could be and what it could do. So, and then we moved here because I couldn't stand one more day of gray and rain. Even though I love Seattle, I really hate the weather.
Oh, yeah, it's famous for that, I know.
And so we moved to the sunlight, and then eventually I went up to New York. And
when was that?
I don't know. I was trying to think about that. probably like
years ago, it's all
yeah,
right.
I don't know, eight or nine years ago
yeah,
or
gotcha.
Something.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, The fact that you guys managed to cross paths is what fascinates me.
Oh, it was wonderful. We had we started our conversation, and within about 2 minutes, I knew that she was going to be a part of what I was proposing, and it worked perfectly. It really did. It was wonderful. We set up a great program. She stayed there longer than I did. I ended up at the Art Institute in Durham, and teaching there. I was teaching the fundamentals of classic cuisine there. Mm-hmm. My background is more classical.
Yeah.
And so we were a great team because she had the natural chef part of it and I had the classical part of it. So we were a great team.
Fantastic. I think so. I mean, you know, my education was definitely improved quite a lot from learning the other part of it. You know, there's only so much you can learn in culinary school. People think you come out of culinary school and you're a chef and ready to go. And you're so
you're
not.
You're really just beginning in so many ways.
You know, you're very much just a cook, right? And so it was really helpful for me to learn another part of it. So
that's good.
And I think we're a good mix. We work well together and we respect each other's approach to things, but also we're on the same page. I mean, we agree with what we're doing.
That's the main ingredient, exactly.
And our value systems are the same, so that's really good.
Well, ladies, as you know, Claudio is quite a chef.
I do.
And he's...
somebody gave me away.
Oh, really? He's a chef at a number of different places and venues. And
I heard you could have an adventurous life being a chef, so I took to it. I was reading Jack London's Seawolf, and next thing you know, I was on boats.
That's quite a good combination.
It is.
I love boating and food, so that's like the best of both worlds.
Well, let's have a moment of music since we've got this great vibe going here, and we'll hear the conversation in the direction we want it to go. I chose Dean Martin this morning just because
that's
the kind of music you hear in good restaurants. So that's Amore coming up.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. That's amore.
Bells will ring,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
ting-a-ling-a-ling,
and you'll sing Vita Bella,
Vita Bella, Vita Bella. Hearts will play,
tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay,
like a gay tarantella.
Lucky fella,
when the stars make it through, just like pasta fossil.
That's amore.
When you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet, you're in love.
When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore,
amore,
that's amore.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Thanks for listening to our station.
You're listening to WCOM, the Triangle's premier innovative radio station. We broadcast something for everyone at 103.5 FM and online at wcomfm.org. Now back to Claudio.
Man, I can't believe that Dino Crocetti, known as Dean Martin, never had a singing lesson in his life. That really tells
That's
it.
Right.
Maybe that's got something to do with it.
I'm Italian.
She's Italian. Yeah. She knows.
So we all need to improve our singing in the shower. If he can do it that well.
It's a requirement of being Italian. You have to cook and sing.
There we go.
Claudio, I've never heard him sing a bad song.
No.
Anything he touches, it just works.
And the guy never had a music or singing lesson in his life. That blows my mind.
What can you say?
And he's been one of my favorites all my life. I'm going to dig a little into your background and your apprenticeship and what got you intrigued in the art of cooking to begin with, Janice.
Well, actually, long time ago, but
long time ago.
And I started out with a bachelor's degree. And this is a long time ago, in home economics.
Do you insist on dating yourself?
I do. And that
She's
and that was
proud of it.
I am.
I'm teasing.
I know.
And then I've always just loved food and all the aspects of food and cooked from the time I was, I don't even remember, six, whatever it was. And then I grew up. Went to live in California after I graduated from university and opened a little cookware store there, which was really fun. And
cookware?
Store called Gourmet Gallery. And then couldn't resist having a little cooking school in the back where I could accommodate
five
people. That was all big it was. And then I left there and went to a real cooking school. A man in the town had a large cookware store and built a cooking school for me, which was absolutely wonderful, and I loved that. And so that's when I started radio in California. I wrote a column for the newspaper every week, did daily radio, like this, talk interview, every day at noon.
What was your show called there?
Food and Fun.
Food and Fun, good.
Food and Fun.
I like that you keep fun in the spirit.
Oh, that's absolutely. Good. It was so much fun. And then I decided that somewhere along the line I'd decided that I would go to, I would do my dream, which was go back. I had lived in London for, in England for a few years, mm-hmm. for a year, and I decided to go back and go to Cordon Bleu in London. And so
that took some nerve.
It really didn't, because I had lived there and I knew the
city. And you were in the swing of the food thing anyway.
So I just decided, and I popped on an airplane and whenever it wasn't quite that simple.
It's got a reputation for being extremely demanding.
And it was wonderful. So I went to Cordon Bleu in London and did get my certificate.
I had a Cordon Bleu in London. Does that count?
That counts. Absolutely. And it was great because I was the... in the 100th year class, didn't even realize. I mean, I knew that it started in 1895, but I was there in 1995. And so on our very last day of classes, the chefs all made us leave at noon and said, come back at 4, and we did. And when we came in, we were served champagne as we walked in the door. Wow. And the doors to the demo kitchen were all closed, and we waited for a little while, drank champagne, got as drunk as we possibly could, and they opened the doors, and they had prepared for us a feast that was unbelievable.
Wow. For the celebration.
You can imagine. Yeah, for the celebration.
Incredible.
So
what a time to be there.
Celebration.
Wow.
It was a great celebration,
Janice,
for all of the students.
If I may ask, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Pennsylvania. Near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but spent most of my life in California.
A couple of globetrotters. Let's go over to Kelly for a minute. Let's get a similar scenario from you. Oh. What got you? What got the bug in you?
Well, kids, pretty much. So I had my son, and I've always loved cooking and food. I am Italian. I'm an Italian citizen, mm-hmm. and an American
okay.
citizen.
My mother's Italian.
And so cooking is just part of being alive, really. And
yes.
I never really thought of it as a job, because it's just sort of what you do. I mm-hmm. mean, everyone's cooking, and it's just part of life. It's not really something separate that you go out and do. But then I had my first child, who had some health concerns, and I went around forever, drug that poor boy to every doctor I could think of, with no answers. And that's extremely frustrating to me. So I don't, you know, I did a lot of research, tried to figure it out on my own, and of which we finally figured it out like 10 years later. But that just led me to understand sort of the degree of what's happening in our food system and how that
some
leads
pretty
to
awful
illness.
Things, yes.
And
GMO.
How, yeah, well, I mean, there's just so many things yes. that go into our mouths that affect our body. And I was really ignorant to the whole thing. It was just food, and there was food, and I enjoyed it, and that's all it was. But that's not really the case. There were so many things that I could see looking back in my life, how food had affected me personally, my health.
Mm-hmm.
And without any knowledge, no one's feeding me deliberately bad food or something. But, you know, just how I was sick for a lot of years because of what I ate. And so that's why I went to that school. I mean, I just found it. And I think I was there. So I was moved here, but we weren't here very long yet. And I made up my mind that I really needed to learn from some people that knew more than what I could find and research and read on my own. And I found that school, the Natural Gourmet in New York City, and it was perfect. You know when you find what you're looking for,
yeah.
you just know that that's where you're supposed to be. So I found it, and I was in New York. I left my family here. My husband watched. I had two kids at that time, and he stayed with the kids, and I went to New York to culinary school.
Got to hand it to Dad, boy.
Yeah, and, you know, I was gone in like a month. I was like, yeah, okay, going to New York. I'll be back. And they came later on over the summer and stayed in New York with us, because it turned out that my husband, who works at home but works from New York City, his office was like literally a block from my culinary school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in New York City, which is not a small place, you know. So
no,
it was
I lived
weird,
there.
Yeah. It was a very weird coincidence. So, yeah, we did that for a while, and it was really fun. But, yeah, that's what got me interested in. I mean, not to be – I love to make food, and I love to make beautiful food and feasts. But really, it was the health aspect that really pushed me all the way.
And that's something I've always encouraged in my listeners and just in my own teaching of food is see food. Learn to see food as a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going through different things, different symptoms arise in you, you can find things to accommodate and appease those aspects naturally.
Yeah, it's not – But I think the other side of that is seafood as a poison. It's either a poison or yes. it is a medicine.
No, I totally agree.
You have to see both sides. Sometimes it is more important to give up things than it is to add things.
Very true.
So it was a really fascinating journey for me. And then I got to come back here, and when I met Janice, like I was saying, it was really meant to be, because on the first day of culinary school, you get up and we had to introduce ourselves and say what it was that we wanted to do. And everyone wanted to be, you know, a chef. They wanted to have a restaurant, you know, lots of things like that. And I got up and said, I just want to teach other people. I see that I don't understand why I had to come to culinary school, leave my family, pay a fortune to learn how to eat well, and which is a normal skill that we should have. So why is it so complicated? And that's what I said on the very first day. And so when I came back and found that there was somebody actually on board doing this, this program had already been set in motion. I just couldn't, it really was. I couldn't believe it.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
No doubt.
It really was.
Yeah. So I came back and worked at Farrington, which is hilarious.
I was a chef there in the 80, in 85, I think it
yeah,
was.
So I worked at, it was, you know, so I went there, and they stuck me in the pastry department, which is hilarious because here I come from a school that is like no white sugar, no white flour, you know, like
right.
eat well. And they put me in the pastry department. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to make this food, you know. So that's what I did, you know. I mean, that, and I learned a lot, and it was really great.
But it's a great
was,
establishment.
But I couldn't eat anything that I made there because it would make me sick.
Oh, goodness.
It was a very interesting
Was Ben Baca there at the time, or who was the executive?
The chef that's there now, Chef Colin.
Okay, yeah. Never met him.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a very interesting little foray into the world of culinary. But yeah, that's so mine is not the typical chef.
Well, you wanted to educate yourself.
Yeah.
And that was sort of my thing in going in when my mother yanked me. I loved my mother's cooking, and she decided she didn't want to see me be a starving artist, so let's go teach this kid something. And I think she just hoped and prayed I'd connect with it at some point, and I did.
It's a shame, though, how people don't teach their children to cook anymore. I mean, kids don't know how to – well, adults. There's like two generations now of people. I didn't really know. I mean, I knew how to cook more than the average person. But I had a lot to learn. I mean, a lot to learn.
Sure.
I was surprised at how much I had to learn. And I thought I was a pretty good cook going into it. And I could not believe how bad of a cook I was. I mean, like, I just was so surprised. I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, if I'm this bad, then how can, you know, how can people eat on a daily basis? So it's an interesting world that we live in.
The average person basically thinks that they can draw an education by shopping for the right foods, read all the labels, and hope to God everything's revealed. Mm-hmm. And that's more of an education system, I think, in modern day. Go buy, eat, and serve.
Yeah.
To a great extent.
And, yeah, trust that the corporation is making your food properly.
And, of course, the GMOs are trying now not to even label what's in it, what possibilities of venoms and poisons we have in there.
Oh, yeah. There's
we're literally eating insecticides.
Yes. We're eating a lot of things you don't want to know about.
Right.
Might as well drink the Roundup that you bought for you.
Pretty much. Let's go to some music on that note. Number two on that song menu. Back to Dean Martin once again.
WCOM 103.5 FM. You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater.
Volare. Cantare, oh, 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 let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all this illusion behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find. Volare, oh, e cantare, oh, no wonder my happy heart sings, your love has given me wings. Penso che io sogno così non ritorne mai più. Mi dipinge con le mani e la faccia di blu.
poi d'improvviso tenido dal veretto rapito. E incominciavo a volare nel cielo infinito. Volare, oh, oh. E cantare, oh, oh. Nel blu, dipinto di blu. Chi dice di stare lassù? E volavo, volavo, venice punalte del sole con coro più su, mentre molto pian piano sparivo lontano laggiù. Una musica dolce suonare soltanto per me. Volare, oh, andare, oh, oh, oh. No wonder my happy heart sings, your love has given me wings. Nel blu dipinto di blu, venite di stare lassù. Nel blu dipinto di blu.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
I'd like to tell you that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
Mud in your eye. I've been keeping abreast of the storm's raging quest from a bar in the French Quarter of town, while the gales from the west were all doing their best to hail the apocalyptic Katrina aground. Now there's mud in the eye of the sailor tonight, where broken levees have leveled the shore, and with the warnings all out and the natives in flight, the Big Easy ain't easy no more. When the waters rose as high as an elephant's eye, and knives of wind ceased their cutting about, an eerie silence would sigh as the night gave a cry to the voodoo of time running out. All the souls in despair who felt abandoned by care, and whom misfortune did not allow to depart, questioned country and state in this quagmire of fate, and found it best a debatable heart. A generosity grew from much more than a few who accomplished what politicians could not. But before this was true, an unrest would ensue among the ravaged whom time had forgot. A dead body neglect from the governing sect is the talk of all our daily news, with rivers as streets and all disquieting feats. New Orleans is neck deep in her blues. It's a primitive take when your town is a lake, not to mention the neighboring states. There are strange things afloat in a hat and a coat, all abandoned to partisan traits. At Johnny White's on Bourbon Street, we drank warm beer and spooned canned meat, while Lake Pontchartrain cut a brand new loop and turned a cultural gumbo into toxic soup. It was helter-skelter in a stadium for shelter, where Americans were called refugees. They arrived in great number from a wind that drew thunder, and took comfort where there was no aim to please. With a sailboat for a penthouse that drowned out the church mouse, the hurricane blew in some very sad ends. We paid for our choices with ever-weakening voices, resting far too easy on political trends. A government of the rich is a cancerous itch, and reminder that we have all sinned. Like Bob Dylan would say with his nomadic sway, the answer is blowing in the wind. A president touting religion as a special interest stool pigeon may be facing a rising of tides. Ceasing arrogance not, he may soon face his lot, in whom true power and justice resides. Chaos and creation, known as civilization, are subject to a shifting imbalance ashore. A maligned collective neglect always leads to regret. And the Big Easy ain't easy.
Tune to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro.
And that was our moment of radio theater. I wrote that piece and performed it because I did not want people ever to forget what happened there. We don't need any repeat of that action. And don't kid yourself about New Orleans being fixed and cleaned up. There's a lot left that the government hasn't taken care of. Just wanted to make a note on that. I am absolutely intrigued by the fact that you knew or know Jacques Pepin, the chef.
Oh, that's true.
Janice.
I was fortunate enough to take classes from him in California, and then I assisted him many classes.
Did you just go to where he was teaching, or how did you guys connect?
I did, but I also was asked to assist him in Arizona at one time and did that for many of his classes in a school there. And because I lived in Northern California, and so I drove down there and assisted him. And then when I was there, I said to him, I would really love to have you come teach in my cooking school. And he said, well, I don't really go to small towns much. And so I said, that's interesting.
I like the way you conveyed that. Yes, go ahead.
And I said, oh, that's interesting. So I went back and thought to myself, I should be able to figure out how to do this. So I actually called his assistant and said to her, I would really like to have Jacques Pepin come there. I noticed that he's going to be in San Francisco, and then he's going to be in Portland and Seattle. But he has to travel from San Francisco to Portland and Seattle, and in between is Eureka, California.
Yeah.
And so she said, oh, that's a great idea, because he's got some time in there. And I said, oh, perfect. So she booked him to come to my school, and he did, and he loved it.
That's
and we had
great.
A wonderful time, and he came back again.
He's a wonderful
later.
Personality.
He really
to see on
is.
Television.
He really is. I consider him my mentor because he really is. There is so much. We could have a whole show
about
Jacques
Pepin
easily, with no trouble at all. And he. Of course, it's very, very well known, except that it's interesting because I've met some young people who are in their 20s, and I say Jacques Pepin, and they say, who's that?
Yeah,
yeah right.
And I'm like, how dare you not know? You better learn.
Obviously, I haven't been surfing the food channels.
And people think that he lives in France. He doesn't. He lives in Connecticut.
Connecticut,
yes,
really, of all
he
things.
He does. Mm-hmm. And his wife is actually Puerto Rican. She's... her name is Gloria. She's an absolutely marvelous person and a wonderful, absolutely great cook. I have eaten her food, and she really is wonderful.
Was there any aspect of Pepin's teaching ability, or just him in general as far as the type of stuff he liked to cook, that inspired you in particular? Just wondering if, you know, how we're drawn to certain things more than others. Just wondering if there was something there.
Yes, because he is so detailed, and he is probably, well, not probably, but he is the very best instructor, food instructor, that I have ever been in contact with.
He's amazingly calm.
Ever.
Yeah.
And he is precise and clear. And
very true.
And he... everything he does with finesse. so that it's not difficult stuff. And that's why he was so popular for so long, is because people thought, I can do that. And his knowledge, while he is showing you something, he's teaching you the history of whatever it is.
That's
and he's
true.
Teaching you all of these things. And we don't have really time to go into some of the details, but I learned a tremendous amount from him. And I really do consider Jacques Pepin as my mentor. And his show with Julia Child was priceless.
Oh, no doubt.
And I have met her. I met her several times, too, through through other organizations, the International Association of Culinary Professionals, Kelly and I are both members, and also one time when I went to Greenbrier in West Virginia to a food writers conference, and had an evening with Julia.
Oh my goodness!
It was so much fun. We just ended up eating together, talking, laughing. She laughs a lot.
Hmm.
Or did laugh a lot. But
seems
I,
like
I
she did, yeah.
I feel very much as if she's so much alive today, because you can go back and listen to her shows.
Pepin strikes me a little bit in that humorous vein as well. I imagine
funny,
he enjoyed laughing.
Funny, very subtle humor.
Yeah.
Wonderful subtle humor,
On a side note, you were neighbors with Janis Joplin. That's more a speakeasy thing here. But I thought that was pretty amazing.
That's true. She lived just a couple of blocks from me, but she
Janis and Janis.
Yes, she used to invite the neighbor kids to sit in her front porch, and she would sing and play the guitar.
Huh, what a
it
treat.
It was very cool. Oh, there's Janis. Hi, Janis. Yes.
Switching over to Kelly.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, I have learned a lot of Jack's recipes from Janis.
From her, okay.
So that's the thing in cooking, One person learns from someone, and then they pass it to someone else. So I've learned recipes that you have learned from him. So that's the great thing about cooking.
Now, you got into cooking, one of your initial reasons, you said you were involved in psychological aspects of it as well.
Well, that's what I originally went to school for, and I used to work in crisis intervention, so I was the person you called when you were either trying to kill someone or kill yourself. That was me on the other line.
Interesting.
And so it was an interesting ride. It was pretty hardcore, but I was not really set out for that intense work.
I
learned after a little while.
Think of a lesson in life, no doubt.
Yeah, but it's fascinating to me, mental health still, and I love the psychology of food, like what draws people to eat different things, even if you know you shouldn't be eating that thing and you're still eating that thing. And, it's just all of the food is so much more than just food.
I like a question that Will posed earlier about how food can tie into mental disabilities.
Well,
I thought that was a very good one.
In Western world, we tend to separate things like our mental health. Like you go to the doctor for your head, you go to a different doctor for your foot, you go to right.
Yeah,
we're
what
all
is that?
Separate.
Everything is supposed to be harmonized with the entire body. I know, I have a problem with that.
Yeah. So, the question in itself is a question that we would pose in the Western tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in other traditions of food, they would understand that everything is tied together.
Yes.
And one effect here doesn't just stay there. You just can't get sick in one spot.
You ain't fixing car parts here.
Yeah. One spot is not, if there's something wrong in one spot, chances are it's in other spots, right? Or it didn't really start in that spot, it's somewhere else. So food is just it's a chance every day to sort of repair, to fix what went wrong the day before necessarily.
To be conscious of
so
what and why.
It's one thing that you have fully in your control, which is not a lot of things these days, especially with the amount of stuff that's going on just in our environment and our world.
And you've got to realize that once you've ingested, you've made a commitment to what's in you.
You have. It sounds very weird. But
yes, it does, but I just had to come out with it.
It's
you just
true.
Committed to that dose, son.
But the thing is, it's food. You know, you can come in and then it goes right back out on the other side. So it's not like you've committed the ultimate thing and you got to stick with it forever. You have the choice every time you pick up the fork to change it. And so that's three times a day at least that we get a choice to make a new decision and to have some control over our own mm-hmm. health and our own life. So to me, it's a really fascinating world because it kind of blends the psychology world that I was in before with food. And it's fascinating. When I try to help people make a transition in their diet, like they want to eat better, or a doctor has said you can't eat that, which has been a lot of times people will go, oh, I guess I'll change it because the doctor said. And they're very resistant, you know, and there's this whole thing that comes up. And I feel like it's counseling more than it is cooking. You know, it turns into counseling, trying to get people to make this change. So it's been very useful to have that background for me. And no then doubt. Working in a kitchen, you know, there's some it's busy. It can be a crisis every time you turn around. Sometimes some days are worse than others. So you've got to be able to handle things that come up fast and sometimes injuries, sometimes mental injuries. Mm-hmm. But, you know, stuff happens fast and you better be calm.
Yeah.
And if you're not, then you don't last very long, I don't think. You just
I know,
can't.
Reflecting on, back on my own apprenticeship in Germany, that everything that was put on a plate was absolutely supervised for health benefits. Mm-hmm. There was everything that came out of that had to be the best it could be, and it was all about your health. Mm. I think a lot of that is overlooked in Western cultures.
Where was this?
This was in Germany.
A normal restaurant,
Baden-Baden.
Or was it
no,
like
this
a
was in Baden-Baden, Brenner's Park Hotel, top hotel in Baden-Baden.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, we're beginning to make that switch, I think, here. People
slowly,
different
gradually.
Parts of the country are better at it than other parts of the country. But I think people are starting to realize the effect of what's going on, and also the power that you have as an individual to make a change.
Yes.
So I think that's really coming along. We're getting there slowly.
The
in
power
the South.
Of one. Yes.
The South is kind of slow moving on that
train.
Yeah,
haven't
but
quite hitched up that train yet. Huh?
No, but we'll get there. We'll
yeah,
get
no
there.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember in the 70s when I first came over here and, you know, ready to take on restaurants and educate myself, it was amazing how easy it was to walk into almost any establishment because I was the most qualified person there.
Mm.
Because cooking really wasn't taken that seriously. You had glorified cooks, not chefs,
mm-hmm.
in most places. And most places, as long as they had a happy clientele that came in for certain dishes and gave them plenty of money, they were happy, and very little else was considered at the time.
Mm.
And so now I'm glad to see it becoming a lot more professional.
Well, I like that it's more professional, but I don't like that it seems like it's a beyond reach of a normal person.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So there is this transformation where now we're all celebrity chefs or something, which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
we cook
is,
food
actually.
For a living.
Yes.
I mean, we're cooking food. Let's just put it in
if
perspective.
If we're good at it,
you
that's
know?
Great.
But, you know, I think it needs to be brought back down to where it should be. It should be a normal, everyday occurrence. It shouldn't be something we watch somebody do on TV and go, oh, well, I just don't know about that. They must have trained for years to be able to do that. So for me, I like that we have things like Food Network, and I don't think it's even called Food Network anymore, but you know, these things that encourage people to learn to get back into the kitchen. But I wonder how many people do, because it's just a form of entertainment. We just turn it on, we watch it, it's fun to watch, but how many people go in and actually make something? I don't really know. It'd be interesting to find that out. It's like how many people buy a cookbook and never make a recipe out of that cookbook. It's
That's
a very
true.
Large percentage. I mean, I would say most of them. I have a ton of cookbooks. I have a
and
wall interestingly of cookbooks.
Enough, I was going to say,
I don't cook them all.
Cookbooks,
you know,
are actually one of the most popular sales items in the world.
They, oh,
they
yeah.
sell more cookbooks than any other kind of book.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet you wonder how many of them just gather dust.
Oh, they do.
How many people have the herring and have never turned the page?
I have one of my mentors. He's a writer and a personality. And he said to me, because I just finished writing a book and he was helping me write a book, and he said, just make sure if, you know, down the road, this is your first book, it's no big deal. We won't be on the bestseller of anything. But he's very frank, you know, and I like that about him. But he's like, you know, in the future, if you all think you want to do that, never go up against a cookbook. Like,
right.
Unless you are a cookbook,
yes.
Do not go in the week of cookbooks. Like, at the beginning of the year, you don't want to release your book
mm-hmm.
because you won't be on the bestseller, because all the cookbooks will beat you.
Food is going to win.
So I just thought that was hilarious.
That
but
is
it's
amazing.
Very true. It's very true.
No
he
doubt.
Had all the statistics. Nobody reads them. Nobody. They flip through them and then they go on the shelf.
Yeah.
But yeah. They're pretty.
They are pretty.
Oh, yes, I know. That's
and
probably
that's the thing.
And to the, I guess it's in the acquisition. Oh, yes, I have that book. Mm-hmm. Have you ever turned the pages? No, it's nice to look at from the side of the library.
Yeah.
I have cookbooks that are falling
Mine
apart.
Are worn out, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we all have the couple that we wear out. Yeah. Right. And then the
Stuff
other ones.
Stuff spilled all over them.
And I really don't go buy recipes, but I remind myself as to, you know, more or less what I was going to do, and then I add my own touches.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah.
I think that's an important thing for people to understand, too. I mean, even as professional cooks, we don't go out there and reinvent the wheel every time.
No.
I mean, a lot of times I need to get inspired, so I'll flip through something like you're saying. I'll look through magazine or I'll look through my cookbooks or even my own recipes and go, oh, what do I feel like doing? And then you go from there.
Yeah.
Once you understand sort of the principles of how to cook, and then you're just sort of refreshing your memory of things you've done.
And having an understanding of herbs and spices helps a lot, too, knowing exactly what the subtleties and the strengths can be.
Yeah, well, that's fine-tuning, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's fine-tuning. I would like people just to cook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, sooner or later, they're going to pursue that because it adds so much more.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, how about a little more music while we catch a breath, and we'll come back and pick on these girls some more.
Okay. I don't know. I think we can take it.
We're glad you found us. We're WCOM Community Radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill.
The sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Add sweet, sweet one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy. Memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Don't forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
The memories you gave me.
Your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell. Three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days. See how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor. With
sweet, sweet
his blessings from above.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Serve it generously with love. One man, one wife, one love through life. Memories are made of this.
Memories you gave me.
Memories are made of this.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP-FM.
Your time is important. Take us along. We're WCOM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Now back to Claudio.
And for those of you just tuning in, where have you been? I'm here in the studio with Kelly Taylor, who is a certified natural gourmet chef and instructor, as well as Janice Escott, a certified Cordon Bleu chef and instructor. They've got their own show called Say Yes to the Chef. And today's speakeasy is brought to you by the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. Back to you, Janice.
Okay.
I thought we'd talk a little bit about your radio show. And
I did.
Just
I
your
had.
General philosophies and curiosities that have occurred, as do on
I shows. I actually had a daily talk interview show that was at noon every day.
And this was where?
And that was in Eureka, California.
Ah, okay.
And the show was Food and Fun, which was very apropos.
Yeah.
I had a great time doing it. I had regulars that came on the show. I figured there were 20 days a month, approximately, more than that most times. But I had many regulars that came every month. And so they got used to the idea. And that was great because many local people, restaurant chefs and the president of the Restaurant Association and a couple of people like that. And I even had some people who traveled from other cities to come once every month or two just because I happened to know them and I roped them into my show. But the most famous person, you might guess, that I interviewed on my radio show was Jacques Pepin. And
Fantastic.
I interviewed him two different times on the show, which was really fun. And I had some cookbook authors, too. We interview cookbook authors on our show here, and we have so many in this area that we've been so fortunate to find these absolutely lovely people.
We have a very foodie town.
We do.
That's true.
So our show is really just introducing people in the food industry. Mm-hmm. So that could be anyone. That could be farmers. That could be chefs. That
so
could
anybody
be,
listening right now, get
right,
in touch.
Right, manufacturers. You know, I mean, it's really, right. I mean, if you want to be on the show,
let us know.
Our website's www.yestothechef.com. And the reason we called it Yes to the Chef, which is the name of my book, which kind of came out of...
because it's something every chef likes to hear.
Yeah, but it sounds really cocky. like, you must say yes, chef, to everything I have to say. But here's the moral behind the story. So when you are trying to do something new or stretch outside of your comfort zone, it's helpful to say yes to things rather than to continue to say no, because saying no is just going to stop it right there.
Yeah,
it's like improv.
Horizons.
You know, in improv, you don't say no. You go, yeah, I'm a monkey, and you go with it, right? So,
do I have to be?
Yeah, you know, there's no arguing about it. And there's no arguing in the kitchen. You do what the chef asks you to do because there's a plan and there's a purpose and everything goes together. So,
Unless you are the chef, you better do it.
Yes. I mean, but the idea is to say yes to sort of life, say yes to understanding more, say yes to giving it a try, going in the kitchen and cooking and not being so afraid of it. So that's the sort of the moral behind that.
Expand your palate and broaden your horizons.
Yes. So that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to, I think, take some of the mystique out of the back of the kitchen a little bit, like what goes on in the back of the kitchen. You should know if you're going to eat the food and you're going to pay for it.
Yes, you should.
You should know what's going on in the back of the kitchen, and you should care. And then you should care about, you know, how does your farmer raise your food?
And there's a whole other field at some point.
How does that?
Farmers markets.
Right. We've talked to, had the, you know, people on from the farmers market and the farmers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? What are their practices? Why would you buy something from them over another person?
Right.
That's an important thing to know. Really, it really is. It's almost like it's a service, I feel like, in one way, you know, telling people where they can go and get good quality things.
Yeah, it is very much so.
And then letting them judge what that quality is. You know, I try not to be so opinionated, although it's very hard because, you know, I am opinionated and that's just me. But it is, I want you to form your own opinion. You'll hear mine. But I want you to But, you know, form an opinion, for goodness sake. You're eating it. You're putting it in your mouth. Yeah. Have an opinion about what you're doing. So this is our way, I think, of letting you form an opinion and understand who are the movers and the shakers in our little world here.
And if the food sucks, don't be afraid to say it.
Well, or don't go buy
don't
it.
Go there, exactly.
I mean, like, you know, let them know in one way or the other. Right. Yeah.
If you don't buy it, you won't eat it.
Hey. And I have never thought of it that way.
But also, our culture here, we have really lovely people. You know that, you know, like Crook's Corner, he came on. Bill
All
Smith.
Right, did he?
Smith, and yeah. You know, he's a pretty well-known guy. He doesn't need to come on the show and do a lot of marketing, right? I mean, people know Crook's Corner,
right? No,
but the food culture is really very friendly and welcoming.
And there is a real nook right here in Carborough and Chapel Hill. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm very grateful to the people who've been on already who are willing to come on and share their time and their knowledge with us.
And I think it's great fun to help take the fear out of walking into the kitchen. I'm not sure about how that works exactly, but we are so comfortable with food and with the kitchen. And hopefully that will come across to people who, oh, I don't know. I just don't know how to do that, and I don't know what to do. And so they walk in the kitchen and throw something in the microwave and think it's food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an unfortunate thing. So hopefully through our conversations and having these lovely people on our show, that people will feel a little more confidence and be able to go into the kitchen and, you know, and start with a little olive oil in a skillet with some chopped up onions.
Medicine to me, olive oil. I love it.
And chopped up onions and garlic and get started.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just add stuff to it.
Yeah, just do it.
I just realized we're coming up on the 5 minutes that we normally do our transition, but since we're transitioning to your show, you might want to make your little noise here soon, and we're going to transition from the speakeasy to Say Yes to the Chef, which is coming up next, and we're going to continue on. I'm going to be in the hot seat in the next one. So.
Okay.
So I will actually leave that to you ladies to call, since we have 5 minutes. Shall we wrap? Do you want to reorganize, or shall we just go on?
We probably need a little bit of a break, but we can keep going for a little bit.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, then don't forget to give out all the contact information you want for the speakeasy crowd that's listening.
Yes, we are Kelly Taylor and Janice Escott, and our website, please visit it. It's www.yestothechef.com, and there you will find previous podcasts.
Good.
All of our previous podcasts. How many have we done? Do you remember,
Kelly?
It's over 30.
I don't know.
And we've just begun.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we've done over
I think I've
30.
Got over 300 at this point. But
our Facebook page is up
there,
too.
Yeah.
We have a Facebook page, too.
Good.
And that's Yes to the Chef also. So www.yestothechef.com. And there we are. There's lots of things on our website for you to peruse. And go to the podcasts, and you'll find some of those podcasts that we've been talking about here. And you can listen to them all.
Fantastic.
We also have some things in the works, so we'll post them up there. We're trying to get a kitchen space here built so that we can do more teaching and more community-oriented things going. So hopefully that's working. It's taking its time.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to bring the speakeasy to a wrap. I want to thank you ladies for being on, and consider yourself part of the speakeasy family at this point. Once we got you the first time, we got you.
Well, thank you for having
Thanks.
Us.
This is great.
And we'll do this again. This is the speakeasy. We're going to do a little sign-off here shortly, but we might go to another tune so the ladies can switch over.
You're listening to WCOM, broadcasting from the Arts Center in Carrboro. Thanks for listening.